Andrews Osborne just ringing that last little note out of that guitar. Yes, and we could have held our breath, I suppose, another second or two. Andrews Osborne, Buddha and the Blues is the title of his brand new release. We took the opening track, Alone. We had Kerry Rodriguez in the set as well, and from her we heard Infinite Night. Across the counter here is Gerf Morlix, and Gerf, I'm just so excited to have you in the room with me. How you doing, Gerf?
I'm doing okay, Troy. Good to see you.
You bet. We chatted some time ago. You were up in the area. You played Passim, I think, last fall or not too far back. But folks that may not know you, you were actually born in Buffalo, New York.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at the Wikipedia page here.
Uh-huh.
You're a member of the Austin Music Awards Hall of Fame 2004 and the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame 2005 and was and the Americana Music Association Instrumentalist of the Year in 2009.
Yeah.
That's some accolades.
Well, that's pretty amazing. That Instrumentalist of the Year thing, I'm not sure what that means. I think about that every once in a while when I'm like playing a guitar solo and I drop my pick and it falls inside the guitar.
Well, I'm sure they had sampled your work on Car Wheels on a Gravel Road.
Oh, yeah.
With Lucinda Williams.
I'm all over that thing.
You're all over that.
Yeah.
And I had really no idea. I think I heard that album two or three times before I even had the liner notes in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
To know who was doing anything. And, well, there you are.
Yeah, I was. I played guitar and produced records for Lucinda for about 11 years until I couldn't take it no more.
Okay.
And then I just pulled the ripcord. I had to.
Sure.
And it was halfway through the making of that album. I didn't need that in my life. There was chaos and bad feelings, and I had to bolt.
Okay.
Yeah, best decision I ever made. It's still a really great record, and all my stuff is on there, but that was the last time I played with her.
Sure. Who comes to mind of other artists that you've produced and worked with that you truly enjoyed and would like to work with again?
Oh, man, there's so many. I've been so lucky to work with some of these people who I think are some of the best songwriters on the planet, and people like Ray Wiley Hubbard and Robert Earl Keane and Slade Cleaves and Mary Gaucher, and the list just goes on and on. It's uh-huh. kind of staggering when I see it on a page, you know. It's like, wow. But I've been doing this forever, you know.
Sure. So when did you start? When did you leave Buffalo?
Well, I started playing guitar when I was 13, and I was immediately in bands, and I left Buffalo a couple of times, moved to Key West. I needed to be warm. I didn't mm-hmm. like those winters. But I kind of came back a couple of times, but I left for good in early 1975, and I moved to Austin. And it was a perfect time to go to Austin. Austin was cheap and warm and had an amazing live music scene. And in about a week and a half, I was in a band and making good money and living in a really nice city, which was about a quarter of the size that it is now. It was a perfect time for a 24-year-old person to move to Austin. Uh-huh. I can't say that anymore. It's a boom town and it's expensive, and you got to have a day job now to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great place to live, and it's a great music and art community, and that's what keeps me there.
Right. So when did Austin turn? I mean, what happened?
Well, I don't know. It was gradual. For a long time there, it was just a sleepy little town. There was 250,000 people when I moved there, 100,000 college students, which is always helps with the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But I think somewhere around the late 90s, 2000s, when a lot of .com people started coming to Austin, and I mean, I lived in Austin since 75, but I moved out to Los Angeles and lived there for 10 years in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then I came back, so I was one of them.
Uh-huh.
But it sort of flooded in around 2000, I'm thinking, and all of a sudden it just became a city where you can't park in front of the business you're going into, and you have to wait for a table in a restaurant anytime you go in. And
sure.
But it's very vibrant now, and I like that too, so...
Mm-hmm. You're still calling it home, of course.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Uh-huh. Are you living in the heart of Austin or out in the
suburbs? No, I live about 20 miles out of town northwest, and it's nice out there. All of the city is kind of reaching me now.
Sure.
Was out in the country.
All right, well, that's a little bit of chatter, and, well, you've got your guitar in hand. You've got this new CD out, Impossible Blue, that you're out touring in support of, and you have a full body of, or a full catalog of your own that you can draw from.
Well, let me think what to play here. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll play a song from my last record. Not my last record. It almost was my last record. My second newest album, which was called The Soul and the Heel. And I'll play you this song here. This is called Deeper Down. You're right, I'm down here in a hole. I dug it myself with a shovel I stole. Leave me be, trying to salvage my soul. The shelter I need lies deeper down. Won't somebody cover me in? Throw some dirt over where I've been. Bury me and all of my sins. Salvation must be deeper down. Bloody fingers, battered soul. Your love, such as it was, has taken its toll. Give me darkness, black as coal, and all I know how to do. All I know how to do is dig deeper down.
So you,
man. I know it's afternoon, but it's still morning for me.
That was excellent.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Gerf Morlich.
You're too kind.
Gerf Morlich with us in studio here. You're going to be at Thunder Road on Sunday night.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's tonight's gig in Rhode Island. Is that a private gig or is
it? It's ostensibly private, but people could go to my website and find the contact information if they want to come. It's in Rumford, Rhode Island, which is just outside of Providence, and it's encouraged for people to contact the person in charge and find out about coming because we'd love to have them.
Sure. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And then again, in Thunder Road, Somerville, Union Square, that's a really fine room.
Oh, cool. I haven't been in there, but I've been hearing about it. So.
Yeah. His name's eluding me now, who's running that room, does the Americana night from Buffalo.
Well, Greg Klima is in charge of the Sunday night thing.
Right.
And he's a guy that I've known for years and a homeboy, sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Man, what a talent he has. And
yeah.
I just love his enthusiasm as well for Tom Petty.
Yeah. Well, I have it, too.
Oh, you do? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any stories that you might know or have?
Well, you know, I miss Tom a lot. He's been gone for more than a year now, and he wrote great songs, and he made some really great records. Not all of them were great, but some of them were really great. And I saw him play a couple of times, and he was great when I saw him. And I met him once, and that wasn't that great, but that doesn't matter. I think Tom had the integrity that all artists should aspire to. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like I could count on Tom Petty to do the right thing. He'd always be there for me, you know. And he was one who's going to stand up for the underdog and that kind of stuff, and now we don't have him, and I miss him a lot.
Yeah. He, you too, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I always had kind of a sense that he was just on the edge of something.
Right.
Whatever song it was, wherever direction, whatever he was going, it was just on the edge, and you you have that as well. It's just like a split second of one side or another yeah. of a reality. And I mean, he brought that to lyric and to yeah. music, much well, like you. Yeah.
You know, I'm in the songwriter game and and the singer songwriter game and you know, producing records up for all these great singer songwriters. So, you know, there are influences for all these people, and a lot of it comes out of folk music, and a lot of mine comes out of the blues, but also, and I know this was the same with Tom Petty, he listened to a lot of Kinks and Beatles and The Who, and all that stuff shows in his music, and it doesn't show up so much in the songwriter Americana stuff as I would like for it to, you know. I love Ray Davies, he's an amazing writer.
Yeah.
And those Kinks records, I mean, I just hear them. Every time I hear Tom Petty, I hear the Kinks in there.
Right.
And the Animals and all those great bands. And that's what I grew up on when I was 12 when the Beatles hit. And that was a worldwide revolution.
Yeah. Your music's, it's not just folk music.
No, it's all of those things, yeah. But I may have a little bit fewer nods to all of that than Tom does or did,
yeah.
But it's in there. You know, blues is really, Delta blues is really big in my musical makeup.
Sure.
And it's really important to me, and I find that all the music that I don't like, I think, is not informed by the blues, and all the music I do like is definitely informed by the blues. And the Beatles and the Kinks, they were all informed by the blues. You know, they're
right.
not blues songs, but it's in there. And I hear some of these people these days, young people on the popular, you know, extremely right. popular people on the radio. I think, well, they've never heard Jimmy Reed or Muddy Waters or Robert Johnson. They're missing out, you know, and that's what's missing in their music for me.
It's going to be interesting, yes, we're pop, whatever that is these days, is going to be your going toward.
Yep, the blues is disappearing, you know, it's like nobody's really carrying that on much. Yep, I mean, there's a bunch of blues bands out there with the bowling shirts and the berets, you know, but that's not real, that's a different thing, you know, that's a costume band, and some of them are really good, you know, but there are no true blues artists anymore, I don't think, or hardly any, not that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. Who's on that list right now? Man,
I don't... You mean current blues people?
Yeah.
Well, there's hardly anyone. It's like, you know, the guys like Johnny Lang, they don't do it for me. I'm sorry, you know, you might like Johnny Lang, but I don't know hardly anyone. Yeah. Chris Whitley was kind of... When he was around, he was a young blues person, and that was real, I think. And there just aren't that many.
We see who walks through your door.
Yeah. Well, there's Ray uh-huh. Wiley Hubbard, you know,
yeah.
who's amazing, and uh-huh. he's really steeped in that now. All he pretty much writes is one chord songs, and he jokes with me. He said, "Yeah, the next album, I'm not even gonna." Words, I'm just going to grunt. But he's great, and
he's halfway there already.
Yeah, and Bob Dylan can be a blues man when he wants to be, and he's really amazing. Not all the time, but I think Ray Wiley Hubbard is writing songs that no one else could write, and they're deep in the blues, deep muddy wow. blues, you know.
So, do you have the luxury of being able to be part of? Well, obviously, you're the producer. And how much influence are you having, really, with like Ray Wiley or Mary Gaucher? Or
well, it depends like on that. The depends on the person and the project.
Yeah.
You know, usually writers like that will come in and they'll have the songs. You know, and I help them choose the songs because
yeah.
we want to make a record that pleases both me and the artist.
Right.
The best record they could possibly make, and that's my job is to help them get that.
Uh-huh.
But we both have to be satisfied because it's a co-bill sort of. And but you know, sometimes somebody will come in with a song, and I say, well, that might need a bridge, or that's got too many verses, you know, or
sure.
or you know, rewrite that line there. I come up with those things if it's needed, you know,
yeah.
and then if it's not, that's perfect. I'll sort of just sit back and you know, I get the sounds and just let it happen.
So you're famous as well for really producing, I mean, your own albums. You are 100% the musician, producer, et cetera, on several anyway.
You know, I don't know how many records I've produced, but it might be like 80 or something over, you know, over the last 20 years, I guess, or 25 years, and it's sort of slowed down now. There, people don't have budgets anymore. So where I used to do 6 or 8 a year, now it's like one, maybe.
Right.
One or two. But I was just really lucky to have those people cross my doorstep.
I meant that in reference to you play the guitar, the drums, you do all the instrumentation, or you have on.
I can, yeah. If it's needed, and if someone can do it better than I do, and we can afford to pay them, I'm very happy to do that. But I usually play all the bass, and on my records, I play all the bass, most of the keyboards. Mm-hmm. I use a drummer, a guy named Rick Richards, who's just great. He's perfect for me. But I can do all the guitars and.
Sure.
And so we just.
And we know the extreme you'll go to finding a harmonica player.
You've seen that video.
I have.
That's worth looking at.
It's a lot of fun. It really is.
I think it's on YouTube. I think you can find it by.
It's on my link on Facebook.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's called Psycho Blues, and
where'd that come from?
Well, I was gonna go to Sweden for like almost a month. I think it was 3.5 weeks or something in Sweden in the wintertime. And
your favorite.
And I was going with there's a documentary about Blaze Foley. You played some Blaze Foley earlier. There's a documentary called Blaze Foley Duct Tape Messiah. And it's a really good film, worth finding. I think you can watch it on YouTube for free these days, or you can also buy it, which is encouraged too. Money doesn't go to me, but a filmmaker named Kevin Triplett made this film, and it came out in 2011, and so I guess it was probably 2012 or 13 when we toured the world with it in 2011, and we would show the documentary, and then I would play a set of Blaze Foley songs afterwards. And that just felt really good to me. Blaze was my best friend and musical partner, and ended up getting murdered in 1989, and never had any success really while he was alive. And so anyhow, we're going over to tour Sweden with the film and me singing the Blaze songs, and of course I'm going with a filmmaker. And he said, we should film something. We're going to be over there for 3 weeks or more. We should make a movie. And I said, sure. What do we want to do? And we just sort of came up with a general idea. There was no script. There was no plan. Every day we would get up and say, well, what can we do today? How about a scene where I'm driving the car while I'm asleep? You know, it was really fun, and it might not have worked out at all, and it just happened to come out great.
It really is a nice piece of work.
Yeah,
and that harmonica player you end up finding.
Yeah, it was a search. I was going to Sweden to find this harmonica player that I had heard about who plays like Sonny Boy Williamson on acid. And it was just, I don't know, I can't remember who had that idea, but it was kind of brilliant.
Yeah, it worked. So you mentioned Blaze Foley, and would you be open to maybe playing a piece of his music?
Sure. Let me think what I can do here.
Remind folks that we're here with Gerf Morlix, and he's performing actually tonight. You can go to his website and find that information.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, too, he's at the Thunder Road on Sunday. That's in Union Square. In Somerville.
Yep. And let me see here. Well, I'll play you this song of Blaze's. It's called Clay Pigeons. And like I said, Blaze didn't have any success while he was alive to speak of. And then he died too soon. He was 39. But John Prine, a lot of people have found out how great Blaze's songs are and recorded them since he's been gone. And John Prine is one of them. And John Prine's as good a songwriter as we've got. Yeah. And he thought enough of this song of Blaze's to include it on his Fair and Square album. And this is called Clay Pigeons. I'm going down to the Greyhound station, gonna get a ticket to ride. gonna find that lady with two or three kids and sit down by her side. Ride till the sun comes up and down around me about two or three times. Smoking cigarettes in the last seat. Try to hide my sorrow from the people I meet and get along with it all. Go down where people say y'all. Sing a song with a friend. Change the shape that I'm in. And get back in the game and start playing again. I might have to go, I might have to stay, but I go and start over again. Might go back down to Texas, might go to some place that I never been. Get up in the morning, go out at night, I won't have to go home. Get used to being alone, change the words of this song, and start singing again. I'm tired of running around looking for answers to questions that I already know. I could build me a castle of memories just to have somewhere to go. Count the days and the nights it takes to get back in the saddle again. Feed the pigeon some clay. Turn the night into day. And start talking again when I know what to say. I'm going down to the Greyhound station, gonna get a ticket to ride. Find a big fat lady with two or three kids and sit down by her side. Ride till the sun comes up and down around me about two or three times. Smoking cigarettes in the last seat. Try to hide my sorrow from the people I meet and get along with it all. Go down where people say y'all. Feed the pigeon some clay. Turn the night into day. Start talking again when I know what to say.
Oh, just gorgeous lyric.
Yeah, he was really an amazing writer. I'm just always struck by how honest every line he ever wrote was. And, and you know, I've known some of the greatest songwriters, and I find that quality in him more so than most of the rest of them. It's just really honest music.
Yeah, it sounds like a song John Prine could have written, for sure.
That's what he said when he heard it. Someone played it for him, a friend of Blaze's that Prine knew, and played it for him, and he said, "Wow, I don't remember writing that." That's quite a compliment coming from him.
You bet. So you're out in tour of your brand new CD, your latest work, Impossible Blue, and it's a collection of nine compositions.
Yeah.
You want to take something from it, or?
You mean play something from it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's play.
No, you chose a track. No, you can't.
Oh yeah, My Heart Keeps Pounding.
Yeah.
I had a little heart attack a while back. And I'm fine. I was really, really lucky, and I look at the whole thing as a good thing that happened to me, for a number of reasons. But they put a stent in, and I'm good to go. It's kind of a long story, but I was dead stopped in a traffic jam in the fast lane trying to get around Disney World on my way to a gig, and this thing happened, and it was horrendous, the most pain I'd ever felt. But I managed to drive myself to a hospital, and they put this stent in, and I'm good to go now. I'm cleared for the triple baconator. So, when I got back home to Texas after that, I wrote a song called My Heart Keeps Pounding.
All right, here it is from Gerf Moerlix.
Crawling out of primordial ooze, learning how to sing the blues from the turkey vultures. Great horned owl, heard the wolves beginning to howl. Mama bear, she will
go, Gerf, just ringing the last little note out of that guitar.
I love those long fades. That Anders Osborne one was just doing it for me. And and there's a Neil Young made an album of, you know, he gets the feedback with the guitar and at the end of a song, and he'll just let it go for minutes sometimes. Yeah. And he made a record, I think it might have been called Arc Weld, that was all feedback.
Okay.
And I loved it. It was just the ends of songs, you know, going on for 2 minutes, 3 minutes at a time. And, and I thought it was really musical.
That was Gerf Morlix from his Impossible Blue. He's touring in support of it. He'll be at Thunder Road Sunday night in Somerville, and My Heart Keeps Pounding. Well, I'm sure happy that you made it through that traffic jam.
Well, me too.
We just said, I want to just give a shout out to Steve Goins's family and friends. We just lost a local rock legend, actually. He was in the hospital with having some surgery, and he passed away just last Monday.
Oh, I hate to hear
big
that.
Pain in our community, musical community, anyway.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
But here you are with us, all the way up from Austin, Texas. I like to say via Buffalo, New York.
Well, I stopped off there for a while.
Sure.
I'm going there in a couple of days. I'll be in Buffalo on Monday and Tuesday. So.
Sure.
And looking forward to it. I got a lot of friends there.
So driving around New England, it must be a real pleasure, because when you're down Texas way or in the great Southwest, it's miles and miles from gig to gig.
Yeah, everything's more concentrated up here, and it's just really, it's a nice quality of life, you know. I love being up here, as long as it's not a blizzard.
Right. Where would you like to go musically right now here? We've got about 15 minutes left.
Well, why don't we play, there's a song on there, it's the second song on the album, and it's called Two Hearts Beating in Time. And you know, you're just kind of like laying there in bed, just the two of you, and you're exhausted, and you're floating, you know, just floating in the air, and the world has drifted off somewhere else completely different, and all of a sudden you realize that your hearts are beating in unison, and you think, well, this can't last for very long. And then sometimes it does, and it just goes on and on longer than you think possible. And I've had that happen, and it's a really remarkable feeling.
And you brought it to song.
Yeah.
Here it is.
There's a bit more I wanna do, left unfinished, a thing or two. I'm gonna talk before I know.
Sensuous.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow, powerful. And again, the heart thing happened there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, that had a big effect on me.
Reminds me, and we talked just a little bit about I've Got a Passion, just the way that you actually, it's very, your lyric is very sensual.
Well, thanks.
It has that. It can be that way.
Well, you know, we got to have some passion in life. You know, if you don't have any passion, then what are you doing? You know, it's kind of killing time, you know, I guess. I try to look for passion wherever I can find it. Passion in music, and you know, passion in everything.
Gerf Morlix with us, Impossible Blue, the title of his latest work, a wonderful body of work of his own, and recognized worldwide for your efforts with other folks' music and bringing life to their efforts. And
Well, thanks.
So that's the guitar. Tell us about the guitar.
Oh, this little thing, it's a parlor guitar. And I've had it for about probably 11 or 12 years, and it's a Canadian-made. It's called an Art and Luthery. Yeah. And I bought it new in a store in Wichita Falls, Texas, for $200. And it just happens to sound great. It's plugged in with the little pickup in the sound hole. It just sounds perfect. And acoustically, it's sort of a tiny guitar, but plugged in every night. People come up and say, that's the best sound an acoustic guitar I've ever heard. What is that? And it's this little $200 guitar.
Well, you've brought some music out of it already. Do you have it in you to maybe do one more live one?
Let me think what I can do here.
I know you've got, it's early for you, and you didn't.
It's hard to think. All right, well, let me play this one. This is kind of about touring and being out here on the road. I'm a traveling salesman, displaying my wares, tales of toil and trouble, love laid bare. I might offer you some comfort, set some part of you free. Maybe we can strike a bargain, you and me. It ain't fate, it's the path I chose. Through the shadows, where not many go. Out of nowhere, on a deep dark night, I want to bathe my soul in that sliver of light. That sliver of light, like pure silver, a silver sliver.
There you go. Shake that right on up there. And that's what you're going to be doing tonight down in Rhode Island, sharing your music, and again in Somerville at Thunder Road Sunday night.
People should come out, support live music.
Yes, but you've traveled far enough to get here.
Support good music.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited that you were able to come and be in studio with us as opposed to just on the phone.
This worked out perfectly, I was really happy to come do this.
We're actually down to only just a short bit of time, but, I referenced a song here a little earlier that I was hoping you might be able to play, but you just can't do it. It's so epic. But can we go out of this with that song?
Sure.
And you can set it up for us.
Well, it's a song written by a songwriter that I came across that I really like, and I like to play his songs sometimes when I can. His name is Bob Dylan. And I'm looking at pictures of him on the wall here, and he wrote this. It's like was it 60 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe. Coming up on 60 years, I would bet. And this song is. Unfortunately, this song will always be able to be sung and needed to be sung. Let's play it. It's an amazing song.
All right. I appreciate you again coming in. I hope it's okay. We're actually going out of this with somebody else's song.
No, that's fine. Thanks, Troy.
We're actually doing a Bob Dylan birthday bash here at the end of the month.
I heard about that,
Thanks again, Gurf.
All right. My name, it means nothing, and my age, it means less. The country I come from is called the U.S. The thoughts that I'm thinking, hey, no man can tell. The words fill my head and they fall to the floor. And if God is on our side, He'll stop the next war. And if God is on our side, He'll stop the next war.
Scarif Moralek season performance at Thunder Road in Somerville on Sunday night. I think it's a 7 o'clock show.
We're up in Michigan, where the laughing river flows.
This is WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM. Tune in to the Jukebox of Americana every Friday from 9 to 12 noon with Troy Tyree, yours truly. Thank you.
20 years in the minor league.